London, December 1897. Tabitha sighed, shook her head, and then sighed again. Looking at the list in her hand, she wondered how everything on it would be completed by the following day. She considered how her mother had made a similar odyssey at least once a year back to their family estate in Cambridgeshire. Back then, at least to Tabitha's eyes, the planning, packing, and travel itself had seemed to happen almost effortlessly. Tabitha's mother had controlled her household with an iron fist, so there was no doubt that she had overseen every aspect of their moves to and from the country. However, the Marchioness of Cambridgeshire never sullied her hands with anything like actual work. So it was likely that all the stress and labour of such moves had fallen on their long-suffering housekeeper, Mrs. Graham, a paragon of her profession. Tabitha had felt far too guilty to place such a burden entirely on the shoulders of her housekeeper, Mrs. Jenkins, which was how she found herself with a long list of things to do that morning. While most people in aristocratic circles would also be retiring to their country estates for Christmas until the start of the social season in the spring, neither Tabitha nor Wolfe intended to stay that long. Wolfe did not have the warmest memories of Glanwidden Hall, the Pembroke estate, from his childhood visits there, where he would be inspected by his grandfather, the late Earl. The Earl had died when Wolfe was 14, and he had returned since. When the plan to spend Christmas in Pembrokeshire had first arisen, he had confided to Tabitha that his only memory of any kindness during his yearly visits was of the cook, Mrs. Budgers, who had always provided a warm, motherly sanctuary for the young Wolfe. During planning sessions with Mrs. Jenkins, Tabitha had discovered that Mrs. Budgers was still in service at the estate. She kept this news from Wolfe, hoping to surprise him and help him feel more at home as the new lord of the manor. The Dowager's views on her deceased husband and son's family estate seemed even more complicated than Wolfe's. As a rule, the elderly Dowager Countess did not enjoy the countryside, and, for most of her marriage and her husband's brief reign as Earl, had preferred to remain at Chesterton House, in London, while her husband indulged his love of horses, hunting and drinking in the country. By all accounts, Jonathan's father was as much of a brute as his son, and equally happy to use his wife as a punching bag. Because of this, Tabitha suspected that the Dowager had enjoyed the distance between her and her spouse as much as she enjoyed the greater society offered by remaining in London. Once her husband had broken his neck by drunkenly falling off a horse while hunting, indulging his three great passions simultaneously, the Dowager never returned to Wales. While Jonathan had inherited some of his worst traits from his father, he'd had no more love of Glanwidden Hall than his mother did. Because of this, and the briefness of their marriage, Tabitha had never been to the family estate. It seemed that many in their Christmas party would be visiting with very mixed feelings. However, it had been the Dowager's suggestion, well, order, really, that they all spend Christmas there. Tabitha acknowledged that the woman was right. Wolfe needed to present himself to his tenants and step more fully into his role as Earl, and all that meant as a great landowner. At least Lord Langley, Bear, Lady Lily and Viscount Tobias didn't have any prejudices about the estate, or at least Tabitha assumed they didn't, because, yes, they were all travelling with them as well. Lady Lily was a given. She had been staying with her grandmother, the Dowager, for some weeks now. In theory, the Dowager was readying her granddaughter for her first season. Still, the academically inclined young woman had no interest in going through the necessary aristocratic motions in order to snag an eligible husband. More surprising was how much the Dowager's enthusiasm for preparing her granddaughter had waned of late. At the same time, the Dowager's godson, the young Viscount Tobias, former rake and wastrel, was seemingly infatuated with Lady Lily, who either didn't realise or didn't mind the attention. Given that the girl's head was always in a scientific book, it was entirely possible that she truly had no idea that the young man carried a torch for her.